Porsche is a very strong brand in motor industry, in a sports car, and having a Porsche amongst the leaders of the teams and manufacturers in Formula E gives a lot of extra interest to the championship.
This is Inside E, the Porsche Formula E podcast.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Inside E, and I'm absolutely thrilled and honoured to welcome my guest today, Mr. Jean Todt, President of the FIA. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Mr. President, your success record in motorsport spans more than 50 years as a former rally co-driver, team principal of Scuderia Ferrari, CEO of Ferrari, and president of the FIA since 2009. So where does your passion for motorsport come from?
So my passion for motorsport, I would say it started during my childhood. In fact, it was a natural passion. And I loved racing, I loved nice cars. And then my dream was to become a racing driver and finally to start to be involved in motor racing. I started as a rally co-driver and quite quickly I got quite a good reputation as a rally co-driver. So I decided to change my ambition and to aim to become a racing team manager in a team. And I gave myself a limit, which was between 30 to 35 years old age. And fortunately, when I was just reaching 35, I was appointed by Peugeot to create and run motorsport activities department.
Well, it's been a phenomenal journey. I would love to know, if possible, if you could explain to our listeners what the FIA stands for and what your mission is as president.
So, I mean, as a president of FIA, and just to arrive to FIA after my role of team director at Peugeot, we went from a rally, a World Rally Championship, to cross country, to sports car, and after that, as you mentioned earlier, I was appointed as team principal for Formula One team at Ferrari. Then I became the CEO of Ferrari, and in 2009, in April, I left Ferrari and I was elected in October 2009 as president of the FIA. And FIA, we have two pillars. One which is well known, we are the regulator and legislator of motorsport around the world. And so it goes by running motorsport in about 150 countries, going from go-kart to hill climb, drifting, touring car championship, endurance championship, rally championship, cross-country, and Formula E, and the pyramid of single-seater, Formula 4, Formula 3, Formula 2, Formula 1. We are the regulator and the legislator of the sport, and the other pillar is what we call mobility. And mobility, we have also in about 160 countries, automobile club, which responsibility is to supply service to road users. So it's pedestrian, cyclist, motorcyclist, car user, track user, and on top of the agenda, there are two topics which are essential, which is road safety and environment.
Mr. President, can I talk to you specifically about Formula E? Because it's well known that the idea of the world's first all-electric international single-seater championship came about on the back of a napkin back in 2011 in a restaurant in Paris together with Alejandro Agag. So take us back to that milestone. How was the idea for Formula E born?
Yeah, that's right. You are well informed. In fact, around the napkin, it was a third gentleman called Antonio Tajani. And he was the vice president of the European Commission in charge of transport. And we were talking about the evolution of transportation. We are talking about climate change, about pollution. And during the dinner, I said we should organize a championship with electric cars in cities. And he loved the idea, and Alessandro Aga, who was there, he said, and I want to be the promoter. So that's how it started. Then we made a tender, and the tender, the most successful and best offer, came from Alessandro and his team, and that's how it started.
That is quite a story. E-mobility is without question on the rise around the globe. So how do you see the development in electric motorsport in the future?
So, you know, for me, it's important that motorsport is not only considered as a sport, as a show, as an entertainment, but also as a laboratory. And you will realize all the progress which have been done over the decades in safety to make motor racing safer, and also to use that to test new solutions which can then be implemented on road cars. So clearly that's all around international motorsport. And you can see we were talking about Formula E, but you can see all the progress which have been done on safety on the cars, safety on the circuits, introduction of halo, for example, on single-seater, also safety on driver equipment, on overall, on helmets. And you can see that all those progress have clearly save lives in racing and are contributing to save life on the road. And I will give you the latest example of one affordable helmet. We are developing one helmet for motorcycle, which will be UN homologated and which will be available for less than $20. And all that came through experience and analyses we have been doing using the motorsport experience.
From your perspective, what would you say are the reasons for Formula E's success in such a short time?
First, I think we spotted a real need. And, you know, it arrived at the same time that the a better visibility on electric cars. We know that electric cars have some limitation. The limitations is around autonomy and time recharging. And so clearly, when electric car is particularly adapted for cities, that's why, and also, of course, pollution, because we know that now more than 50% of the population is living in a city. So that is important to make cities safer, and that's why we have so many programs around smart cities. So clearly, to introduce Formula E in cities, and also with the interest of major manufacturers, was a game changer for motorsport, and also to make electric cars more attractive to their users. Because at the beginning, I mean, there was a kind of reluctancy speaking about electric car, because when something is new, there is always some doubt about it. But the introduction of Formula E was a very attractive way of introduce and create a better awareness about electric technology.
And in terms of Porsche specifically, how do you rate the debut season in Formula E?
I mean, great. I mean, first, I must say, I love your electric Porsche, which I was fortunate to test while I visited the Porsche factory, and it's absolutely one amazing achievement. It's probably the next generation of electric car, and again, Formula E has probably contribute to the development of this car, and the fact that Porsche has been quite successful with its two drivers, André Lotterer and Pascal Wehrlein, who incidentally started in a promising way the 2021 season, have been a great achievement. And you know, Porsche is a very strong brand in motor industry, in sports car, and having a Porsche among the leaders of the teams and manufacturers in Formula E gives a lot of extra interest to the championship.
Without question. Mr. President, the world is going through incredibly challenging times at the moment. The pandemic has caused economic as well as business challenges throughout all industries. What is the FIA standpoint on the current situation with regards to motorsport worldwide?
It has been a challenge because, you know, exactly 1 year ago, nobody could have expected that we were going through such a difficult, heavy pandemic. And of course, we had to be very respectful of the situation. But on the other side, we did not want the motorsport world to stop. So working together with our promoters, working with the teams, working with all the FIA teams, we were able to restart motorsport in a safe way. Unfortunately, so far without spectators, but still we could run the championship sometimes by being very creative about the organization of the calendars. In a way, it was a good way of working as a team with all the different stakeholders and being very creative and demonstrate that when you want to face a difficult situation with success, you can do it. So that's what we did. And I mean, it's a tribute to all those who have been contributed to make that possible.
I would like to talk to you about the hashtag purpose-driven movement, which was launched by the FIA for the motorsport community back in June of last year. What is the idea behind this powerful movement?
We know that the world is facing different challenges, not only COVID-19, but when you see all what is happening around the world, when you see the discrepancy between wealth and poverty, we feel FIA has a strong responsibility. And the purpose-driven movement is around addressing better health, gender equality, diversity, religion, and we feel that by being involved in such a program, we can be a game changer. You know, motorsport has to be a consolidator, and it's something also we see in other global sport, and it's something we are discussing also with our friend from the Olympic Committee. That's why we are very proud to promote the purpose-driven movement. And of course, we need the contribution of all the stakeholders in motorsport.
The focus, Mr. President, of society's attention is, of course, more and more on the environmental challenges. But the FIA is not only taking action for environment, but also showcasing other important projects such as the Women in Motorsport Commission. Because, of course, women in motorsport are not just seen in the cockpit, have they? I mean, how do you see women in FIA leadership positions?
I was just mentioning when we spoke about purpose-driven gender equality. And we want to have more women in motorsport. We want to, but not only in racing, but also in administrating motorsport. We want a woman as a stewards, as marshal, as official, and as a racing driver. So 10 years ago, we created the Women's in Motorsport Commission, and we chose Michel Mouton with an iconic figure in motorsport due to, I mean, all the success she has had in the World Rally Championship, being equal to the best male rally drivers in the world at the time. So clearly she is a strong representative of what a woman can achieve. So we have been creating one academy, and I must say it has been quite successful. And we have had last year a team of women participating in the biggest endurance race in the world, which is Le Mans 24 Hours, who was competing against men at the best level. So we still a long way to go, but we are there, and we will be very motivated to have success. Now, if we speak about environment, we know that the climate change is on top of the list of the agenda of all governments around the world, and it started with COP21 a few years ago, which was organized by the United Nations. And we know that it is a serious problem. That's why, incidentally, we are talking about electric car, about neutral fuel, about hydrogen. So again, motorsport has to be a laboratory. And we started in 2014 by introducing a new powertrain for Formula One with hybrid motor, hybrid powertrain. And we are now working on the next step, 2025. We are working on a new introduction of a powertrain and also introduction of zero emission fuel. And of course, we want to be in a position to implement zero emission fuel for all category of motorsport at the earliest. And we need to demonstrate that motorsport can be clean and safe.
That's brilliant. Brilliant to hear. Now, Mr. President, you touched on this earlier in our chat, but campaigns such as the FIA Action for Road Safety and FIA Sustainable Mobility Programme support the safe and sustainable forms of mobility. So what do you think the future of mobility will look like?
I mean, you know, we are in a world with the world in front and the world behind. Incidentally, every year 1.4 million people die on the road. Between 30 to 50 million people are injured on the road with a disability. It's number one cause of death and injuries for youth between 5 to 29. And the developed world has been doing sensational progresses on safety on the road. Unfortunately, the developing world is far behind. 92% of the victims I was just mentioning are occurring in low-income countries. So we have a big responsibility to change that. And I was mentioning earlier that in this capacity as the UN Secretary General Special Envoy that I put all my effort to convince all the stakeholders, governments, cities, manufacturers, to put that on top of their agenda if we want to have a significant drop of number of victims on the roads.
Let's hope so. Final word from you, Mr. President, to revert back to motorsport. What would you say the future of motorsport looks like? Would you say the future's bright?
It is. It is. You know, it's a, in a way, motoring has been changing in a fascinating way. I mean, cars do exist since just over one century. And when you see the evolution of cars is absolutely outstanding. So the next steps are very challenging, you know, and what is very important is to see also an alignment amongst countries, and it's something we discussed earlier, but when you see all the progress which have been done on also on safety, on reliability, it's absolutely sensational. And simple things like electronic stability control, for example, which is now compulsory in European market and in some other markets around the world. I mean, it's a game changer. So I feel manufacturers have been doing a fascinating work, progress. We probably needed to go even farther to communicate better about the content on modern cars and work together also with countries on road infrastructures, on post-crash care in the developing countries, mainly because we need to keep motoring as freedom. And that's why it's so important as well to see that motorsport means always to dream.
Mr. President, it's been absolutely fascinating speaking to you today. Such an insightful conversation. Thank you so much for your time and chatting to us on Inside E. Many thanks.
My pleasure. Anytime you wish.
If you'd like more information, follow Porsche Formula E on Twitter and Instagram, or visit the Porsche newsroom. See you next time.
Inside E, Porsche Formula E podcast.